The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome into today's show. We are going to be sending more money to Ukraine instead of the American people. That budget was just approved by Washington last night. We will go through this new pork bill for all of you.
Plus, the biological labs that are in the Ukraine are, in fact, confirmed by the United States government. Are they biological warfare or aren't they? We have some answers now, and it's interesting.
Yeah, we report, you decide on that. And President Biden signs an executive order going after crypto. What exactly is in this bill? What will it do? There's so many questions we have about the United States government sticking their hands into cryptocurrency. We're going to get to, and it's very interesting timing on top of what's happening within Ukraine and, of course, the Russian currency right now. All of it very, very interesting in the banking sector. All of that and more as the big show starts right now.
All right, you guys, you are authorized to shock me every time I put the in front of Ukraine. I continue to do it. I don't know why. I apologize. Don't come at me for it. I already know. Today is the 10th of March, otherwise known as Mario Day, because if you write out Mar 10, turns into Mario Day. We're going to talk about that more.
It's me, Mario.
Mario, hey.
Mario.
But for now, we're going to talk about global politics. I'm Natalie Morris. He's my husband, Clayton Morris. We are both longtime news anchors, and we bring it to you from our house now.
Yeah.
Make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter. It's morninginvest.com, where you get a preview of what we're about to talk about and more.
Yes. So subscribe to the newsletter. It's delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. And we chock full of really good stories. But also, interestingly, like I mentioned before, you know, YouTube and these big tech companies are want to hide this kind of information that we cover here on this show. We have been blocked. We were blocked for an entire week back in August. This whole channel was shut down for a week. We couldn't do anything because we reported on vaccine information that ended up being confirmed by the United States government a few weeks later, but didn't stop YouTube from blocking us for reporting the truth. And already today's live show, we already have a yellow warning. We haven't even started talking and they're already putting a warning. So it's very important. Sign up for our newsletter. That way we can email you and let you know if we have to create another channel or another backup or anything like that. Very, very important to sign up for our free newsletter.
Yes, indeed. Please do that.
Yes.
We think that our apology has just been lost in the mail, which...
Yeah, YouTube, you know. You want to send it to us? You want to send your apology
We're
to
waiting.
Us for taking us down for a week, for reporting the truth?
So I'll just give you a little reminder. All we said was that vaccines do not prevent the spread of COVID. At the time, that was an unacceptable thing to say. Now that seems to be common knowledge. But at the time, YouTube was punishing for that. We're going to talk more about media censorship as we go along. But today, the main story is that the House of Representatives has passed a spending bill which will keep the United States running until March 15th. Mm. Okay, so the deadline was March 11th, which means that the United States would hit its debt limit, which we have done three times in the last 4 months, I believe, and only passed smaller little training wheels packages, I guess, that just get us, we've been kicking the can down the road. Now, the deadline for the president and the Senate to both approve this new package is Friday. So in order to not hit that deadline, the House of Representatives also passed another baby package, which will fund the government until March 15th. got that. So we have little baby time gap, and then hopefully the full enchilada. It is a $1.5 trillion spending package that would indeed fund the government and also marks money for sending money into Ukraine for the current conflict to the tune of $13.6 billion.
Okay, wait a second. So
okay, I'll wait a second.
Last week it was $10 billion that we were going to send to Ukraine. We've already been sending for upwards of a decade. We've been sending billions of dollars to Ukraine. We've been sending Javelin missiles. We've been sending anti-aircraft ballistic missile centers, mobile response units. We've been sending weapons. Mm-hmm. We've been sending mortar. What do you call them? Ground to air, whatever. I don't know. I don't use them regularly except when I play Call of Duty. Anyway, we've been sending billions.
Special ops.
Yeah, we've been sending special ops.
Oh, yes, they were there first.
Oh, we've been sending all of this to them for years. So last week it was $10 billion that we were going to send to Ukraine. But yesterday we reported that they had now upped that number to 12. And then last night, Congress comes along and sticks in another almost $2 billion for Ukraine at the last minute. So now it's $13.6 billion.
Coming from a country that will hit its debt ceiling. We are not supposed to have this much debt. But we say we want more. Mm-hmm. We can do it. And we will continue to fund this money into conflict zones. There are other pet projects inserted into this bill for representative leaders who continue to want other things that are not necessarily related to government spending and mm-hmm. funding ends up to be spending. For instance, visa and green cards will they want to revamp the EB-5 visa and green card system, the reauthorization for Violence Against Women Act. It's just very strange that these types of things, sure, they can be our priorities. We should all be against violence against women. But what is that doing in a spending package?
Of course. I mean, all of this stuff gets thrown in here on a regular basis. So we were sending $13 billion to Ukraine. I'm just curious in this package, by the way, how much of this money is going to Israel? Like how much money is going to these other countries right now? President Biden had a whole Build Back Better plan that he wanted to roll out. It never rolled out, but we're fine sending money so that we can arm Ukrainians right now. We can send all these pet project money back to Nancy Pelosi's house and her district. I mean, all of these, Bloomberg, I love how Bloomberg labeled this, lawmakers' pet projects, that this will include a whole lot of money for lawmakers' pet projects. How much money did you guys get for stimulus money this month?
Well, and I was just going to say, how generous of the people. Like, you're happy to pay the higher gas prices and send money that we don't have over to help Ukraine. Like, you people are so generous with your money, so I thank you.
Yeah, we thank you so much. I mean, this is what we love to do. We love to destroy countries, like what we did in Afghanistan. And then we love to funnel trillions of dollars into those countries to support the military-industrial complex and make sure that they are wealthy. Raytheon and Boeing and Northrop Grumman, all of them get their money in these types of situations, right?
We can
funnel $400 billion, which is what we're doing right now, to all of these government contractors to go in and do nation building. We love building. We just don't like building our own nation, right?
And think about this. It's like that's another bill that went in there. I didn't see any arguments online. I didn't see Senator Lindsey Graham or Mitch McConnell or any of them being like, well, we just can't really pass this. We can't afford it. But when it comes to sending money to the American people, they all complain.
No, you're not going to see those
but
clowns.
There's also money in here for the FDA, which we're going to talk about later, and how forthcoming they have been with COVID vaccine data, right? But in this spending bill, the FDA will get money to regulate e-cigarettes.
Mm.
That's a priority.
Good. These are dire things, guys. You're not paying more for gasoline right now, are you? You know, for everything, but we need to regulate e-cigarettes.
You know what I think happens? I think what happens is it's like you see a bill come forward and they know it's going to pass. So they're like, oh my gosh, go in my office and in the back counter. I have this bill that I've been trying to get passed for 10 years now. This is going to get passed for sure. Let's throw it in here.
Yeah. Stick it in. Well, of course it's going to be. And like I've said before, I'm a progressive, right? So I want, what does that mean? It means that I want things for the American people that they are taken care of, right? So if in a spending bill, Joe Q. Senator gets his bridge built, fine. As long as there's a child tax credit in there, there's money for schools, healthcare, people are taken care of, right? Where they're not being gouged for medication prices, where they actually get a good education. And the United States is really low on the list for education. We have one of the worst food systems in the world. In the industrialized world, the United States, the food system is a disaster. No wonder Americans are almost the fattest country in the world. So if there was in these spending packages some pork that went to fix a bridge, as long as the other things were getting done, I'm okay with that. We need to drive over bridges.
Right, but there is
we don't do that.
But there actually is no budgetary concern about this, right? So the federal government has been saying, well, we need to tighten the screws at the IRS so that we can make sure that we're bringing in more money in order to pay for these programs and these things that we've decided to spend our money on, which is fine. But also in the newsletter today, in the News by the Numbers section, you can click on a link that shows that people who make $25,000 or less per year and report that on their taxes are five times more likely to get audited than any other income group. So who are we saying will pay for these things? And so who do bills like this benefit, right? They're going to benefit big business. They're going to hurt small potato people. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean that the way it came out.
And it's like, remember when they were saying, we're going to start, you know, tracking everything $600 or whatever. And they're like, well, that's for the rich, so that we can make sure that the rich aren't getting away with things. But like when you're doing it that low of an amount, that's only for one group of people.
Yes. Yeah. And of course, and who gets, I would love to be able to, we haven't had a chance to see this bill. They literally wrote it up into the last minute and just passed it. So none of these members of Congress have actually even seen what's in this thing. I mean, I would love to be able to go through this line by line and see what's in it. I mean, think about the amount of money we're now talking about for spending bills. $1.5 trillion?
That makes sense, though, because this is a, you know, this is a very, very important bill. The Ukrainians really need that money right now. So, you know, we can't we don't have time to read it.
We don't have time. We've got to help these people. And because the media is telling us that, hey, Ukrainian maternity hospitals are being hit and shelling by Russians, which, OK, maybe that's actually happening. I would also love to know how a Ukrainian maternity hospital is shelled and no one is killed. By the way, I would love to know more information about how
that happens. Right, the pictures are really interesting, right? So there's pregnant women leaving, and they're covered in bloody clothes, but no one is killed. It's a shocking. The imagery is very shocking.
And we should. I'm not saying I'm not saying that that didn't happen, and I'm not saying that people weren't hurt. People were hurt, apparently. But what I'm saying is we need to question everything right now. We've been lied to repeatedly. We're lied to every day by our mainstream media. And when they tell us, when we see sudden images all over Google News and we see them everywhere and look, maternity is hit on the same day that we need to send $13 billion to Ukraine and on the same day that President Biden also signs an executive order banning crypto or where he's going to clamp down on cryptocurrency because people were sending money to Russians to help them using crypto, like, very interesting timing around all of this stuff.
Well, do you remember what actually started the Iraq war was that that girl who testified in Congress that they were unplugging incubators? So they went to the baby story and that's what launched the war. And that turned out to be completely false.
Well, so too was the vial of ricin that Saddam Hussein was using. All here I am, Colin Powell. I managed to get this little vial of ricin from our stores downtown. I just want to show this is what it looks like. All it takes is this little vial. And it would wipe out an entire population. He later, of course, said upon his retirement that that was the greatest mistake he'd ever made in his career, lying to the American people about this fake weapons of mass destruction.
And really quick, I watched a documentary yesterday from Oliver Stone called Ukraine on Fire. And it's only on Rumble right now. They took it off of YouTube. Mm-hmm. But it shows how they have established the propaganda and how they go in and they create these things like that, these stories like that, the propaganda that gets people on board. They even make logos. They make like it's called like the Center for Democracy or something like that. And they go in and they actually try to start these things. And it's a CIA backed thing. And that is a very eye opening documentary. Like if you guys want to see who we're funding and who we're giving money to, you need to go watch that documentary.
Well, and by the way, it's from 2016. So YouTube just now decided to take it down.
Yeah. And so the good thing about it being from 2016 is it's not going to be biased to what's going on right now.
Right. Right. So you just need to empower yourself with this information. I mean, these guys are lying to us on a regular basis. That's what's happening. It's happening before our eyes. Congress now passes a $1.5 trillion spending package. As someone in the chat said, hey, where's my student loan forgiveness?
No.
You're not going to get your $10,000 in student loan forgiveness that President Biden promised you. But Ukrainians are making sure that they're getting $13 billion. And where is this money going to go? Is there any oversight?
Well, here's where it's not going to go. Now the Pentagon says they no longer support sending fighter jets into Ukraine through Poland. This seems to be an about face because up until about 24 hours ago, that seemed to be okay. At least the UK has already okayed it. The United States was indicating it would. Now we're saying, no, we don't authorize that. Why? Because if Russia is to surmise that that is a direct contribution of weaponry to Ukraine, which, you know, already is being done, but I guess this is just a line in the sand that we're worried about crossing, then we're worried about retribution being turned directly at U.S. shores.
More news to come here on the show. We're going to talk about these bio labs and the confirmation there. I can't wait. Many of you emailed me over last week when we first reported this story and said, Clayton, how dare you spread this misinformation? Well, I'm glad to be vindicated this morning. It's not often I'm vindicated. You know, like around the house when you accuse me of something and then I'm able to prove.
No.
But you never give me credit
for it. I don't know at all when that happens.
Well, we now have Senate confirmation. We have Senate hearing confirmation of this story, among other pieces of evidence on this. So we'll talk about that. Plus, we're going to talk about these hidden Pfizer documents, which have just been released thanks to a Freedom of Information Act request. We're going to go through this court order plus the documents on the vaccine. And you are going to be blown away about what has been kept from you by the American government. All of that and more.
But first, we're going to tell you about our show sponsor, Alto IRA. This is a way to self-direct your IRA funds and learn to invest in whatever it is you would like. Why is this different than maybe your Fidelity or your Scottrade IRA or whatever investment vehicle you currently have, the type that have, say, commercials on CBS around the Super Bowl? This is much different because this is actually you choosing what you would like to invest in instead of a group of funds that are fee-based. You can now learn to invest in cryptocurrency, which we are going to talk about later in the show. Did you know that you can, in fact, trade cryptocurrency without the tax headaches if you are doing so inside your IRA? Most people didn't know you could do this. You can truly diversify your retirement portfolio when you discover a way to add Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies into your IRA with Alto Crypto IRA. This means that you can have investments outside of the stock market, which most people don't truly understand that they can do. In fact, I was listening to a podcast yesterday with Tom Wheelwright about woke capitalism. I can't remember the author of the book. It's not the one you read, but it's a different one. And he was talking about how woke politics is making it so that you are investing in funds that are sort of making political decisions about the world. And so if you have any of these like stock market funds that are being driven by cryptocurrency, you are unwittingly funding woke capitalism. Well, you don't necessarily have to do that if you would like to invest in crypto. Crypto, by definition, is decentralized and anti-government, and it's a game changer. You can create a free account in just a few minutes, invest with as little as $10. There's no setup charges and no account fees, and there are secure 24/7 trading through Alto's integration with Coinbase. There are over 150 coins available, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, Cardano, and such. Open an Alto IRA account with as little as $10. Just go to altoira.com/morning. That's altoira.com/morning. Start investing in cryptocurrency today. And I would like to share the episode number. It's called, that I listened to yesterday, Woke Business from the Wealthability Show. You can find it on any podcast offering application. And it's from March 3rd. Fascinating about how if you are a stock market investor, most likely you are contributing to woke capitalism, whether you want to or not. And that is not the fiduciary of publicly traded companies. And there are things you can do about it.
All right, let's move on here in the show today. So I want to talk about a story that we first brought to you just a few days ago here on the show. So an update now on the story we first brought you 2 weeks ago here on the show. In fact, at the time, we were really the first, I would say, news organization or broadcast news organization to share this information. that the United States had helped build and fund bioweapons labs inside of Ukraine. You can call them just simple laboratories. You can call them biological labs. You don't have to put the word weapon in there if that's not comfortable for you. But when they're studying and working on anthrax, I'm going to add the word weapon on there, if you don't mind. In fact, 15 of these biochemical laboratories were built around Ukraine that the United States funded. Now, at the time, we knew it sounded pretty crazy, right, when we first reported it. But our sources were rock solid because we actually took the information right from the U.S. State Department website.
Had been removed.
Which then were removed, right? So these were on
these
U.S.
Were
Embassy
archived
state.
From,
yes, they were
yes.
taken down, right? So we had the copies of these particular details. In fact, going through and actually highlighting the type of furniture that they provided at these weapons laboratories, how much money they were spending on the labs, the Department of Defense, it showed exactly how many millions they were spending on each of these labs. Well, just as the war was breaking out in Ukraine, the U.S. government then decided to remove all evidence of these laboratories from its website. So we thought it was odd, right? We reported the story here. I remember your jaw was even open up. You were like, I can't believe we're doing this story. Really? Is this what's going on here?
Right. And we made no connections, right? We just said, why? What's
why?
Here? And what is it that we're not supposed to know? Well, in recent Senate testimony, the government confirms that the U.S. has been involved in biological laboratories in Ukraine. But they say it's not weaponry, it's biological research. We'll let you watch the video and decide.
So, yeah. So Marco Rubio yesterday, I mean, he actually had the balls to ask about this.
He did not have the balls to follow up.
No, but he did have the balls to ask the question.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the question, though, right? Wait a minute. The United States is funding biological research labs in these other countries. After all, it's the very same thing that got us into enormous trouble with similar research at a biological laboratory in Wuhan, China. Right? We all know what happened there. Then yesterday, it was actually pretty unbelievable to watch this on the Senate Intelligence Committee during a hearing when Senator Marco Rubio had, I think, the balls to ask this question. He asked it with a straight face of Victoria Nuland. Now, you know Nuland, right? You'll recall her. She's the one who engineered the coup in Ukraine years ago. She's also the Undersecretary of State Anthony Blinken. Anthony Blinken, by the way, who's the guy who's running all over Europe right now saying, hey, if we send jets into Ukraine, that's a green light, baby. He used those words this weekend. That's a green light from us. Sure, no problem. Just involve NATO in this mess.
Do it.
So Rubio asked the question, are there bioweapons or chemical weapons or chemical agents in Ukraine? Here's the question.
Does Ukraine have chemical or biological weapons?
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces should they approach.
Okay.
What?
So they are there. We knew they were there and we're worried that Russia is after them because we put them there and did not secure them properly.
Did you play the rest of that though?
Did I play it? No. I mean,
the part where she talked about the false flag, like if there are biological weapons dropped after the Russians go in there and take it, that's going to be a false, like Russia's going to say that it was a false flag or whatever.
Yeah, I clipped it there. But yes, Marco Rubio goes on to say, and he goes on to ask the question, well, clearly, you've got to be 100% convinced. He's like putting her words in her mouth.
Yes.
Right? You are 100% convinced then, of course, that if something does happen, that it would have been Russia that would have launched these chemicals. It wouldn't be Ukraine, right? He leads the witness, and she says, absolutely, 100%,
it would be Ukraine. Oh, that's what they would do. Absolutely what they would do.
Like, he wouldn't follow up with an actual deeper question about it, but he does ask that question, and then he leads the witness by saying, clearly, it's the Russians. But it's not the Russians who built these labs. It's the United States government who funded these labs and participated in the development of these labs. Among the chemicals and agents looked at in these labs and developed is anthrax. Right there, from the State Department, that's one of the weapons. That's one of the chemicals. You can call
it
a chemical or not. But
that is there to counter biological threats, they say.
Oh, okay.
They say, so okay, but let's just let them have their word, because Fox News, via Tucker Carlson's show, did reach out to the government and say, what is this about? And here's the statement they got. They said that the U.S. does have diagnostic and biodefense laboratories, but that is not the same as calling them biological weapons facilities, because they are there to counter biological threats, not make them. Okay, so let's just sit with that for a second, right? Okay. So we are only making the antidote.
So here's one of our YouTube comments. This is from James. James, are you watching today? He left this on our video the other day. Big difference between biolab and bioweapons lab. Just because funded by Defense Department doesn't mean they're weapons labs. Okay, let me ask this question. Why is the United States taxpayer funding biological laboratories in Ukraine?
Right. We have some, like, okay, we have Wuhan, much bigger, like, land mass. We could do it. We could do it on U.S. soil.
But we were told, hey, this is Russian misinformation. We were criticized, right? We were attacked for covering this story. A number of you wrote me emails directly to me, Clayton, or leaving messages here on our YouTube when we covered this story a week and a half ago. How dare you spread misinformation? And then you linked me to this article from USA Today. You sent me this link. You said, Clayton, this was false. The USA Today fact checked this. Okay. You sent me this article. USA Today, by the way, as you know, is one of the worst newspapers in the world. And I've repeatedly talked about their BS on this channel. Anyway, so this was what you sent me. You sent me this USA Today fact check, false claim of U.S. biolabs in Ukraine tied to Russian disinformation campaign. It's false. It's fact checked. They went through and fact checked this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, really? I guess we're all stupid. Well, Tucker Carlson did a great job on this last night. I texted him this morning and said, he made me pee my pants a little bit, because on this comment, him taking the piss out of USA Today for their fact-checking. Take a listen to this.
Within hours of the Russian invasion, USA Today published a rebuttal to all those crazies who are yammering on about secret Ukrainian biolabs. Here was the headline. Fact check! False claim of U.S. biolabs in Ukraine tied to Russian disinformation campaign. So if you look carefully at the story, and we did, because we were interested, you notice that this fact check was sourced to Ukrainian government unnamed officials and then Biden State Department officials. So these were not exactly objective sources on this subject. But still, the story seemed definitive. It was totally emphatic. Quote, Russia has teamed up with China to further amplify the false claim of U.S. labs in Ukraine. Okay.
That's how you fact check USA Today? Okay. You want to talk about China? Let's do. Now China is calling on weapons inspectors to look into these biological labs run by the United States, saying that this is counter to the Biological Weapons Convention. The United States has not been cooperative when asked about it, has not been forthcoming, and now they will investigate. So you don't think this is dangerous? You don't think this is something to look at? Now, No. When we talked about this a couple weeks ago, I was extremely uncomfortable about it because it seemed so out there and crazy. But now there is Senate testimony and we are not getting a straight story. And we are being told, no, we only make anecdotes, right? We only make the cure to biological warfare. But how can you make
vaccine bombs?
Right. How can you make a cure to something if you don't actually have the weapon?
Well,
right.
Philip, I want to get your take on this. Philip, you were studying to be a molecular biologist. I'm not making that up. That's not a joke. Philip,
right.
So when you look at this and you hear these arguments, give me like the scientific sort of molecular biologist response to this story.
So most of the very, very scary things are in what's called a VSL4 lab, which is a virus security level 4. It's like the top security, which is a lab that's under negative pressure inside a VSL3 lab. So like basically you have to build a special lab around your super like secret lab. The things that are in VSL4 labs are absolutely terrifying. And there is legitimate biological research that goes on there, because like understanding viruses is pretty important, just because viruses have been around a lot longer than we have. I mean, like 50% of human DNA is viral in nature.
Yeah.
So there could be legitimate research in it. What's interesting to me about like this take on it is they're basically saying, well, these aren't weapons until somebody picks them up and uses them as such. And that would be like me having a shotgun in my house going, well, that shotgun is not a weapon because I'm not holding it and using it as one.
One thing Tucker said last night as a joke to that response was exactly that, which is, yeah, well, we have nuclear weapons. We're not using them.
These are hunting guns.
Right. We're using them as a deterrent, right? We're not building them to use them. We're using them as a deterrent for defense in the same way. So, but I kind of come back to this question, right? Which is, you know, in journalism, you should always ask these main questions, right? Who, what, why, where, and how? That's it. Like, that should get you to the heart of the answer, right? So I'll ask these questions. Why is the United States funding biochemical anthrax research at 15 different laboratories in Ukraine? Why?
Well, and we already, like you mentioned earlier, we have already seen what happens. Like, if you look at Wuhan lab released the virus. There's more evidence pointing to the fact that that came from a lab than anything else. And to me, it's like you have U.S. hands all over it. Because, again, I go back to this article in 2017 where Fauci said with a complete confidence, no doubt Trump will face an infectious disease outbreak. So it's like if you have these U.S. hands all over it, then they, you know what I mean? Like they can create the narrative however they want to.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's why I'm saying what we already had happen in Wuhan. So we shouldn't be concerned. Now we've got Russian tanks rolling through. And are we? So the other question I have in all of this is, well, you know, I'd love to know who in the Obama administration approved this, because this goes back to 2015, 2016 era, 2014, 2015, right?
Yeah.
Who approved this? Who approved the State Department and, well, the Department of Defense funding biological research labs in Ukraine? And looking at these types of chemicals, and what exactly are we doing right now to protect these laboratories? That's what I would like to know. Like, what sort of protocols were in place?
Well, she says we're now looking into securing them because we're worried that Russian troops are marching there and will go in and steal vials. Again, this is season 3 or season 4 of The Americans.
Right.
That is what they did.
Exactly.
They found that Americans were, in fact, no, I won't give away the plot line.
Yeah.
It's too good.
Yeah, but if you've not seen The Americans, it's a great, great show. Go watch The Americans. But this is it.
This is stranger than fiction, you guys.
But this is all true.
This goes back to, so I want to say it was like 82 or 83, where the kind of like the world, like during the Cold War, the U.S., Russia, and everybody involved were like, okay, we need to nix chemical and biological weapons. But then U.S. Congress was 50-50 split. It was actually George Bush Sr. that was the deciding vote because he was vice president at the time. The U.S. decided that because other countries still have chemical and biological weapons, that we must also have them as a deterrent. It doesn't matter that we have something far worse in nuclear weapons, but because, you know, somebody could hit us with a biological weapon, not a nuclear one, we have to have the same thing. So this was this is like orchestrated back in the 80s, and it just didn't, you know, like anything that happens in Congress, nothing goes checked. You know,
yeah,
like
nobody's. So right. We don't plan to use the stuff, but we've got to have it to counteract what you have. Makes no sense, right?
Right. I mean, of course. It's exactly like, again, pandemic. We this is never going to be found in nature. We have to create it in a way that it's more dangerous, just to see what it
what,
can
what
do.
What would happen? We're gonna have to change this SARS-CoV so that it will attach itself differently to humans, even though it doesn't exist in nature. We're gonna make it in a laboratory, and oops, it leaks out of Wuhan, and then we go into a 2-year reset of this, the poor middle class in the world is. Like,
what
destroyed.
I don't understand is what is the consequence for if China does? I mean, are we going to believe them, right? If China comes to the conclusion that the United States did, in fact, violate a biological weapons convention, number one, will we believe them if they say so? Number two, what are the consequences for doing so?
I mean, we've committed
already
war crimes.
We're on shaky ground. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, who's the arbiter of truth here? Who gets to step in? Is there like a world court that can say, are we going to have like a Nuremberg trial? Like, we should have Nuremberg level trials for what happened with COVID.
I don't think that would fly because you would have to presume a neutral party, which nobody can agree on these days. That Nuremberg was possible because it was in the days where we trusted what governments told us.
And we trusted military. We trusted everything. We trusted the military industrial complex. You know, that's why, you know, yeah, in the years that followed World War II, that's why, you know, people want to know, like, about the Roswell cover-up and all of those things. It's like when the military rolled into your town in mm-hmm. Roswell, New Mexico, and told you to go home and not say a word, you did, because they just beat the Nazis, and you listened to them.
Yes.
And there was enormous trust and respect for these institutions until, of course, they... we get into Vietnam
but,
and beyond.
But here's where I'm going with this, though. What if China decides you had violated this convention, the United States and NATO forces, you have drawn your battle lines around Ukraine, and Russia has drawn its battle lines also around Ukraine. We stand with Russia. So then, right, you can complete where I'm going. So then we do actually have East versus West.
Yeah, a new Cold War, right? That's what...
not cold. It's new biological war. A new, like, more dangerous war, not just with information or existential threats, but real threats.
Right. You know, I heard some arguments from people like, hey, when we reported this story a few weeks ago, people were like, well, Clayton, the reason they took them off the website is because they didn't want the Russians to know about these labs. And now you're being a traitor, Clayton, for doing this, covering this on your YouTube channel, because the Russians are now going to know about these labs. Do you think my little rinky-dink YouTube channel, like Putin's like, wait a second, we didn't know about these labs. We certainly didn't look at the United States doing anything in Ukraine.
We never
for
visited
years.
The State Department because they're our enemy.
But I was just, Putin was just like, I was just on YouTube this afternoon. And I stumbled across Morning Invest show.
I'm going through the subscriber list right now, seeing if Putin is in there. We'll ferret him out.
I know that Putin's mom watches the show. I know, like, yes. I'm sure Putin discovered these weapons labs in Ukraine thanks to our show. I'm flattered. I don't think that's the case.
You can't get rid of them, you know.
Well, I mean, but also that's the thing. It's like, what's the point of having secret weapons labs if nobody knows they're there? You know, and so, like, of course, people know they're there because our secret labs are conspicuous on purpose.
Right.
But everything the State Department does, though, in its embassies is usually a humble brag. It's like, what does America do in these instances and that type of thing? So they wanted someone to know for some reason.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have a lot more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about, she answers the door. Anyway,
during the show, here we go.
Yeah, it's right here in the middle of the show, of course. I want to tell you about our friends, though, as we move on to other stories here at Athletic Greens. So our friends at Athletic Greens have helped change my life. This is part of my daily nutrition regime. Instead of buying bottles and bottles and bottles of supplements and other vitamins and everything, now with one scoop of Athletic Greens, their new AG1 formula, I can put it right into some cold water, 12 ounces of cold water. I shake it up. And that is all of the supplements that I need. It is absolutely fantastic. David, are you still doing your Athletic Greens every morning?
No, I'm on the all meat diet. So I had to give it to Jennifer, but she's drinking it now and she loves it.
So David has given up his vitamins in favor of going all carnivore. We'll see. We'll check back in with him in a few months. But I still make this part of my daily routine. I know my mom does as well. She's already noticed a big difference because she had all sorts of issues with arthritis and things like that. So what you do is you just put it together. You basically add it to one glass of like 12 ounces of water. And I've been doing it now since the fall of the year, and I wouldn't be able to live without it. It's really, really changed my life. I mean, one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and aptogens to start your day off right. It has a special blend of ingredients, supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy recovery, focus, and aging, all of those things. I'm a huge fan of it. It doesn't even matter. Like, if you're... It's lifestyle friendly. So I've been doing the keto plan lately to try to do this keto reset, and it's on keto. It's keto friendly. It's paleo friendly. So you can have it, David. It's paleo.
Well, and somebody just asked in chat how it tastes. And I always say it kind of has it's really good. It has kind of a, maybe like an apple-ish kind of taste, I think. Would you say apple?
Yeah, because I think it uses all natural sweeteners. There's no sugar or anything like that. And I was worried, it's going to taste like a powder. You know, and no, it doesn't.
Not at all.
It tastes delicious, and you look forward to having it
because it's such a. You're not going to want to eat it. Yeah, it's such a fine powder. When you put your spoon in, it like makes dust, but that makes it so that when you put it in the water, it just completely dissolves, so you don't get all that sediment that you get with a lot of the others that are like, it's cut thicker. Like it's so, yeah,
it's great.
They did a good job.
So right now it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading in, you know, as you deal with the flu and cold season. And everyone around me who's not on Athletic Greens has been coughing lately, except me. Like, I have not had a cough. I've not had a sore throat. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to save you a free 1-year supply. Right? They're going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/invest. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/invest to take ownership over your health and pick up your ultimate daily nutritional insurance just by going to athleticgreens.com/invest today to get your vitamin D, the vitamin D drops we take every day. And by the way, Natalie, she just went to go grab the door for a package. We have a big package that we've been waiting on for the studio. And she just got her blood work back a week ago for her vitamin D. And her vitamin D is like, I think on the levels, you know, where they say like good, not good, below average. And then there's one that's like, you're about to die. Like her vitamin D levels were listed as about to die.
Clayton.
So, oh, you're back. Okay.
You don't just share people's medical information.
No, HIPAA, man, HIPAA.
Did I break your HIPAA? Yeah, anyway, no. So she has very low vitamin D because she never goes outside. And the vitamin D drops from Athletic Greens.
Take those.
Now she started taking those.
All the time. I'm a vampire.
I'm also good for COVID.
I'm in the Pacific Northwest, and we have a chronic vitamin D deficiency around here because we don't get the sun for like 9 months out of the year. So,
Alzheimer's. I mean, it's linked to Alzheimer's. It's linked to lack of vitamin D. It's linked to a whole lot of problems. You better get on that vitamin D, woman.
I'm going to tell you about Clayton's
don't tell me
markers.
About, no.
Clayton's blood test. Would you like to know?
No mention of cholesterol. They did find a super soldier serum in my blood. I can't explain that.
I can't talk about that. You're lying, though. You just put on glasses today, prescription. So
Clark Kent, buddy. It was all a ruse.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Let's talk about what President Biden just did yesterday as it relates to cryptocurrency. So President Biden gave us a little treat yesterday under the dark of night. For all of you crypto investors out there who have been wondering, like, hey, is the government about to regulate our cryptocurrency? What are they going to do here? How are they going to affect these digital wallets? It's already incredibly difficult in the United States to set up digital cryptocurrency exchanges. In fact, a lot of new coins that are opening that have their initial coin offerings, which are called ICOs, you know, like you would have a public company going public and they'll do an initial public offering, an IPO. Now, a lot of these companies say, we're not even dealing with the United States. It's too onerous. It's too ridiculous. We're not even going to launch in the United States. So if you want to trade crypto, good luck. You can't do it in the United States.
Well, here's a little history behind this, right? So during the Obama administration years, Obama signed laws that made any American, that means any American, anyone with American citizenship, whether they lived abroad or not, had to report information from their bank accounts because the United States was worried that American citizens might live abroad, have their money and their banking account somewhere where they were not reporting it, because the United States is one of only two countries in the world that taxes its citizens, whether they live in the United States or not, right? So let's say you were American born, but you've never lived there, and you go live your life in Denmark or something like that, right? You still have to tell the American government what you have in the bank, what foreign bank accounts you have, and what was your highest balance of the year, and what date that happened on. So the United States is very keen to keep its eyes on everything its citizens have, and that includes cryptocurrency. Now, if you read the white paper when Bitcoin was actually born, right, in, I think it was October 31st, 2008, is the day, I believe, that the white paper was released where the idea of Bitcoin was born, right? The idea of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is that it exists outside of government regulation, that it has nothing to do with the government. The government can't track it, the government can't see it, and it exists on a blockchain. Well, obviously, the United States government and other governments are very uncomfortable with this. President Biden had said that he would issue an executive order to regulate cryptocurrency, and he did just that on Wednesday. It still is not very specific, but it defines six key priorities that the government will now have for its dealings with crypto.
So you want me to go through them?
You go through them, sure.
Okay, so the six key priorities for national policy for digital assets are: protect U.S. consumers, investors, and businesses, okay? The order directs the Department of Treasury to assess and develop policy recommendations to address the implications of the digital asset sector and changes in financial markets for those groups. Next, it wants to protect U.S. and global financial stability and mitigate systemic risk. So what does that mean? We want to protect U.S. and global financial stability and mitigate systemic risk.
Well, in the context of what I just told you, right, that the United States is the only country that reaches into its citizens' money and bank accounts, whether they actually use U.S. services or not, then you know what it means to protect U.S. interests.
That means you can't
get into your money.
And it also means, hey, if you want to send money to support Freedom Convoy in Canada, sorry, we were watching you and we're not going to allow that to happen.
We don't like that.
We also, and by the way, the Canadian government also just as complicit in this as possible. But on the same week, all of this is so interesting and all smells so bad, because on the same week when we're looking at the Russian ruble, we're looking at Russian currency, we're looking at financial restrictions for Russia and people lining up to try to send airdrops and other currencies to help Russian people right now who are being slammed with their economy collapsing because of these sanctions. And now we can step in and block. Elizabeth Warren came out just the other day and talked about this specifically. If you want to invest in the United States, you can do so. But if you want to give money to the Russians or you want to give money anywhere else around the world through cryptocurrency, you're not going to be allowed to do that.
Is that hers to say?
No, it's not. But Elizabeth Warren thinks it is. She thinks, because she's on the Senate Banking Committee, she's got a lot of power. So she can tell you, Natalie, you can invest in this, but if you want to give money and help people through the blockchain, through cryptocurrency, in any part of the world, the United States is here to tell you, you cannot do that.
But at its very nature, how in the heck are they going to track it?
How are they going to track it? Well that's an interesting, that's the question,
I mean, it's
right?
Super trackable, right? I mean, it's yeah, blockchain.
Blockchain the blockchain is there. It's like everyone having an access to this spreadsheet, right?
It's open source.
It's open source. We can all look at it. That's how they were able to track down.
But do you know whose wallet is whose, though?
No, that's the thing. We don't know who holds the keys to which wallet. We don't know who's which, you know, and that, unless you're stupid. And then in which case we were able to catch those two idiots in New York City a few weeks ago that stole like $5 billion worth of Bitcoin, and they were easily tracked, and they, you know, because they did stupid stuff, right? So because they were tracking where the Bitcoin was going, they knew the Bitcoin, they knew the block, right? Mm-hmm. They were tracking that block, and these idiots were moving it to their own personal bank accounts, and then bingo, we're able to find you through that way.
Right.
I'd be interested Go ahead.
No, you please you.
Oh, I was going to say, I'd be interested to see what would happen if you took this same exact argument and swapped out crypto for shell companies and offshore tax havens and watch Congress be like, well, I don't know. You know,
like, yes.
By the way, that's exactly how they would talk, too.
Yeah.
Grand Cayman?
I mean, that's the thing. It's like they're going after this because that's not where Congress has their money.
Right. You
know, like until the Congress starts putting their money into crypto, then it's easy for them to do. But because they're still backing the old way of doing things, of hiding their money somewhere else. But because it's the same argument, they're still not paying taxes on any of that.
Right. So, this is the thing. Like, they're so concerned, to Philip's point, to mitigate the illicit finance and national security risks posed by the illicit use of digital assets, because God knows no one's ever used the U.S. dollars for illicit purposes.
Right.
Never used. I mean, U.S. dollars are clean, right? We've never used them for
illicit purposes. Because what this is a bait and switch. Is they can say, like, hey, cryptocurrency is something we can't regulate, and, you know, we can't we can't secure it through the FDIC. We cannot track it. We cannot see it. And we certainly can't reach into it. But we're going to digitize our dollar. So if you really like digital dollars, come on over here and we'll make our version of the dollar digital. And that's the same.
Right. And I love that they say the order calls for unprecedented focus of coordinated action across all relevant agencies to mitigate such risks. So we're talking who? FBI, CIA, IRS, right. Homeland Security. I mean, all agencies now have the ability to look and with unprecedented focus. And it directs these agencies to work with U.S. allies. Oh, okay. So let's connect with our allies around the world, our NATO friends.
Yeah.
And our Canadian partners and our Canadian friends to make sure that we have unprecedented focus on coordinated action across these agencies to make sure that we're stopping illicit finance.
Okay, so why then, I my head was a bit blown, why is Bitcoin up 9% on this news?
It was, and down 7. I think initially it surged on this news and then it dropped like a stone. So
because
it was up 9,
legitimizing, do you think?
I mean, that has been the large argument in this, is that you've been hearing it from crypto Bitcoin maximalists like Michael Saylor and others who've said, look, hey, when you have regulation around it, it legitimizes crypto. It's no longer like this wild, wild west. If governments now regulate it, then it's here for good. Like it gives it sort of a stamp of approval.
But that goes against history when every currency in history has collapsed.
Yes, but this isn't a U.S. Every fiat currency.
Right. So if you turn it into a fiat currency, or at least tie its fate to one.
Well, that's what they're trying to do.
Right.
Look, make no mistake about it. The U.S. government can pay lip service to loving crypto. But at the end of the day, they're threatened by it. In the same way that China was threatened by it and banned it and it created their own state digital currency. We already know that the Federal Reserve is moving towards creating its own federal digital currency, as you just talked about. And they're going to want to be able, because the key is they want to be able to print as much of it as they want. With Bitcoin, there's only 21 million Bitcoin. They're not making any more. That's it. It's final. That's it. So you can't make more Bitcoin, but you can certainly make more U.S. dollars. And that's where the Federal Reserve is going to love to sink its teeth into, which is to be able to print and create as much of a digital currency as possible.
Yes.
In much the same way they already are.
Can you imagine, though, if someone held their feet to the fire and said, sure, you can digitize the dollar, but it has to have an endpoint the same way that Bitcoin does, where like when all the chains are sewed up with your knitting needles, you're done. The United States would be like, no, because we can't.
Sandy in our chat says, the thing is, do you think that Biden even gets crypto or even understands the blockchain? No. President Biden doesn't even know where his shoes are. So do you think he understands the blockchain? Absolutely not.
I think he understands the political implications
of the
currency being outside of his control, of the United States control. Absolutely, I understand that. In fact, I was listening to another Wealthability podcast about the Cold War as China starts to threaten the United States as the default world currency, because the United States currently is the default world currency, where, you know, two countries that have nothing to do with the dollar will make a trade and they trade on the dollar because it is the internationally accepted currency. But the problem is the United States has to have enough dollars to facilitate global trade. And it doesn't, right? Because the United States is not growing commensurate with global business. So if the United States can't catch up and global business keeps going, we're in trouble. And China is coming in and saying, we can, we've got the money. And that's created a Cold War that is absolutely concerning to U.S. government powers who want the dollar to continue to be the default currency of the world, but cannot sustain it.
We've got more news to get to here on the show. We're going to talk about Pfizer documents just revealed and what's trending on the internet and so much more. So let's do that. Let's talk about this unbelievable story from Pfizer. In a court ruling in Texas back in February, and surprised we haven't even heard anything about this. It's been kept totally quiet from you, the American people. A district judge there ruled that the FDA has to now release information that was not previously intending to. It had to release information about the efficacy of these Pfizer COVID vaccines after and what was happening after they were approved and the marketing phase of these things. So much to come out of this court ruling. And Dr. John Campbell did a great job kind of going through all of this. But what it shows is in the 3 months of data through this Freedom of Information Act request, 3 months worth, that's all we've got, by the way, only 3 months worth. The court said, you guys now have to release this.
On a regular basis.
You have to release these documents. You now have to open up and release these documents and give out through the rest of the world, like, what is actually happening here?
Just out of curiosity, these aren't the documents we were promised that they were going to block till 2055, are
no.
they?
No. Okay. This is only Pfizer's data, and it is only between the timeline of December 1st, 2020 and February 28th, 2021. So this is 1 year old data, but it is at the very least the first 3 months of vaccine administration from Pfizer.
It's 38 pages. I have it here. And if you want to go through it, it's incredibly dense. It's so dense, in fact, that even the first part of it has an entire table of contents on abbreviations. Like, look at all of the, just so you can try to keep track of everything, all of the abbreviations that are in this thing. So what's really interesting is that if you want to get a sense of this, you have to figure out, okay, how many doses were administered, right? And if you start here on page six, it is estimated, oh, it's hard to zoom in on this. Here, let me zoom in this one here. It is estimated that approximately
blank
redacted doses of this vaccine were shipped worldwide from the receipt of the first temporary authorization on December 11th up through February 2021. So redacted, like, why is this part redacted? John Campbell has a question about it too.
Associated adverse events and relate that to the number of vaccines given. But this is the part that deals with the vaccines given. And it seems to me that this is redacted. Now, if that is redacted, why on earth would they want to redact that information? Because that means we could work out the percentages of people getting adverse reactions and the percentage of people dying due to vaccination. But we can't, because we don't actually know how many vaccines were given out. Why would they want to redact that information? Why wouldn't we be able to access those percentages?
Okay, that is the question, right? Because you, as someone who's being asked to take the vaccine, should know the percentage of adverse reaction from the Pfizer vaccine. Now, the data does show that there was 1,223 deaths between these 3 months.
From the vaccine.
Related to taking the vaccine.
The Pfizer vaccine.
Okay. Now, you see here this column of how many doses. We don't know, right? But the adverse reactions was 42,086.
In 3 months of data.
More than half of that is medically confirmed, okay? So if we wanted to get the percentage, what is the likelihood that you might have an adverse reaction? You can't do it because you don't have a numerator. Okay, so what I did here was just make some hypotheticals, because what if these are the total administered in 3 months? What if that's the case, right? If there were 3 million, that's a 1.4% chance of an adverse reaction. If there was 2.5 million, right? So this is what we're working on, because we're guessing, right? This is data from the United States, from Italy, from Germany, from France, so Portugal, these are and Spain.
Yeah, these are the adverse effects. So of the 42,000,
right,
this is... Yeah.
Now, the most likely ones, if you scroll down a bit, are nervous system disorders, musculoskeletal and tissue disorders, skin disorders. You can read this here for yourself. The interesting thing is that this data set ends February 28th, 2021. 6 months later, the FDA goes ahead and approves the Pfizer vaccine, right? Gives it full approval. And at that time, FDA Commissioner Janet Woodcock said, millions of people have already safely received the COVID vaccine. This is 6 months after this data set is completed. So she is saying that these numbers are safe.
I point out too that it was released and approved without the black label warning that it should have mandatorily had, because it had that many adverse reactions? Like,
because it's over the threshold, under authorizations, they would have put this label on it, and they didn't because they wanted to hide this information from the American people.
And the reason they didn't have to is because it was being used as an emergency authorization, so they didn't have to black label it. And that also was why they were so against all these other treatments, because in order to get that emergency authorization, there could be no other drug that was successful in fighting it.
Yes. Purple Rain in the chat says, where do I find this? Go to John Campbell's YouTube page. He has all of these downloads. Here. We also will put it in our chat. And then I'm going to link it in tomorrow's newsletter as well. Because these, look, this is a non-zero number. This is interesting for us to know. And it is related, the story in the newsletter this morning about how the U.S. government used $1 billion of taxpayer money to advertise the COVID vaccine on mainstream media through outlets such as ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and all of the major U.S. newspapers. Some of these ads even had celebrity endorsements. This is just my summary here you're seeing on the screen. But that link.
So just to reiterate, yeah. Okay, two parts of this story. Number one, Pfizer knew about these problems, kept it confidential, and the FDA knew about the adverse effects, kept it confidential, did not release it to the American people. It was only after a court order, after a judge made them do it, that they released the first 10,000 pages from just the first 3 months. So just from December, which is half a month, because the authorization for the use of it started halfway through December, into February. So two and a half months of data, right? So that's one part of the story. We don't even have the full year of data yet from adverse effects yet. This is just 3 months and 10,000 pages, right? And then the second part of the story is that the United States government spent $1 billion of your money, taxpayer dollars, and funneled it to ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, all of these major networks to push vaccines on television in media ad spend.
Now, the media outlets are saying, okay, but the newsrooms operated independently of this ad revenue, which
brought
I say,
by Pfizer.
Right.
But okay, if that's true, then this study should get equal airtime from now on, right? Is that happening?
No.
No. It's not. So don't tell me that the newsrooms are operating independently of this ad revenue. Also, right, you could make the point like, okay, the government thought that it needed to advertise the COVID vaccine to end the pandemic. They thought that was the right thing to do. But you cannot set aside the fact that Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and Moderna are for-profit companies. So the government is giving them free advertisement because they did and still do profit from the vaccine.
And this morning, Pfizer is now going to begin testing the new COVID pill in younger children called Paxlovid. It can already be prescribed as a prevention for severe illness in children 12 and up. Now they're looking at younger children all the way down.
And yeah, let's trust this company.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, this is, and it's all over. I mean, all you need to do is go and, you know, go to NBC's website, go to all these different websites and go to politico.com and see these stories brought to you by Pfizer, brought to you by these companies with
sponsorship. If Senator Ron Johnson's videos are going to be put back up and if he's going to get a huge apology, because he's been saying this for over a year now. He's been asking these questions and he's been saying this. He's been showing the data. Everybody was saying he was a conspiratorial idiot, and now he's proven to be right, spot
on. You know,
that's the
beauty of having this sort of avuncular persona of John Campbell is nobody's going to, you know, I was thinking about this earlier because, you know, the Tucker Carlson piece was really good about these biological labs, but Tucker says other crazy things and then people just jettison what he has to say, right? John Campbell he's nobody's fool. Nobody hates him. There's no, you know, like you can't go against this guy for just like breaking down the data.
Even he has been fact checked. Like the British, I think the UK something rather did a fact check piece on him and he played it. He's like, here you go. And here's why they're wrong. Like they try to come after him, you know, even him, they try to come after. But yeah, he's like this like avuncular is one of my favorite words. Like he looks like, hey, doc, can you tell me like what's the truth here? Well, I'm going to go through this data. It's going to take me 4 weeks to go through all of this stuff. So go have yourself a biscuit and some tea.
Well, when you listen to him talk about how he talks to his patients, it's like he would just be like the best doctor to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can just see the camera off and he's sitting there with the like birds singing outside his window going through this stuff, right?
But I want to play this. Do you mind if I play this again? I want to play this again because he just calls out this BS on why we don't get to hear these doses. Like, why is this stuff here blocked? Why is this redacted? You're going to release this information, this confidential, but we don't get to know how many doses you're actually administering?
Associated adverse events and relate that to the number of vaccines given. But This is the part that deals with the vaccines given. And it seems to me that this is redacted. Now, if that is redacted, why on earth would they want to redact that information? Because that means we could work out the percentages of people getting adverse reactions and the percentage of people dying due to vaccination. But we can't, because we don't actually know how many vaccines were given out. Why would they want to redact that information? Why wouldn't we be able to access those percentages?
Yeah, it's a great question.
Well, and just out of curiosity, at that time, that 3 months, where were we during that? Like, was this the initial push of the vaccines, or was this kind of like when they first started coming out, or were they, you know what I mean? Like, where did that fall in the timeline?
This was when Americans were still fighting for appointments to get vaccines. So
they hadn't even been authorized.
This was like
December 2020 when they were, this was the first use of these vaccines, December 2020. Just like emergency youth just getting out under President
Trump.
So
think about that. Even just 3 to 6 months after that would have been a lot more data. So that's like, if you think about it, that's the lowest point of data, the lowest number of administrations they would have.
They can give. You're right. But the summary and conclusion says that a review of the available data for this experience confirms a favorable risk benefit, right? Favorable meaning 1,123 people can die, and that's an acceptable amount. Following that summary and conclusion is that's it.
Right
is a yes, is a laundry list of reactions.
Look at that.
That we didn't even know about. These are listed reactions. Go back.
These are all
go back. So okay, look, this page that you're looking at on the right is what I just read you, favorable risk balance. Next page, now we're going to say here are the risks that we have medically confirmed.
They're in alphabetical order.
One page, two page.
Oh, just acute respiratory
failure. Keep going.
By the way, Addison's disease. Do you know what president of the United States had Addison's disease and he couldn't even get up and walk?
Who?
President Kennedy.
Okay.
Addison's disease. I mean, on and on.
Page three,
is myocarditis on that list?
Five, six.
Sorry, I'm scrolling here. I can't keep up. Seizure.
I lost count because you're not.
Sorry.
I told you to keep going.
I'm trying.
You're making me crazy.
Crohn's disease.
Can I drive?
Crohn's disease. Are you kidding me?
Wait, are you still in the C's?
Now I'm in T. T and up to V. Look at that. I mean,
can you please count the pages?
All right, let me go back. You guys at home, help us out here. Okay, ready? Here we go. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine.
Nine pages of known reactions. But again, it does seem like one of these reports where the summary and conclusion was written and then they went back and filled in the data. Like, favorable risk balance, all good. Okay, now, but let's actually do the study. That's not the way it should work. The summary and conclusions should go last. And it would appear that the FDA fell in line and said, this is a safe thing. Totally cool.
Just want to call
again,
out a few items.
Watch
here.
Dope Sick.
Meningitis.
Or read the book.
Look at this. Yeah. Meningitis.
Yes.
Meningitis aseptic. Meningitis herpes. Look at this. Here you asked about myocarditis. Oh, yeah. Myocarditis is on the list. Myocarditis post-infection. Here we go. Myocardial infarction. On and on the list goes.
I have a huge problem with so it's like the redacting of information in a scientific paper automatically like makes it so you can't peer review it. And the whole scientific process is peer review. I mean, that's right. A major part of
it. And it just proves they're being nefarious because there's no reason for them to do that. So they're just hiding that information for what reason? And
well,
the reason is because they know that it's damning.
Right. I wouldn't say it proves it. It shows it, you know, but it's not proof like scientifically.
Yes.
The problem is when you're redacting
it. No, but it's proof that they're hiding it. It's proof that they don't want that data out because it's worse than knowing.
Which is what gives me pause because the scientific process, peer review is a major part of it. And so if they're...
Can somebody let Philip finish a sentence?
Sorry,
I'm going to freak out.
He paused. I thought he was done.
I was done.
Stop talking. He's
talking. No, I was done. I was just going to ramble. So, yeah, go ahead.
Please finish a sentence. Go ahead. You cooler heads are prevailing here. He's right. It is not proof of anything. It is a major, it's like poop in the pool, right? If we can
I'm glad
that.
You interrupted Philip for that.
I didn't. Yeah.
And I'm not saying that it proves anything. I'm just showing that it does prove that they are trying to hide. Like, I'm not saying it proves any data, but they are definitely trying to hide the numbers. And why they're only releasing 3 months makes sense, too, if you think about it with that, yeah. Because they don't want you to see the total numbers and how many adverse reactions there were. If that's in the 3 month period when it first started, when there weren't very many vaccines out yet, that makes it even more scary.
And I heard a great comment yesterday by a scientist who said, you know, people always get frustrated by it was actually a story about an older scientist who had passed away, but when he would be often asked about certain big things and he would say, I don't know, I don't have the answer. I don't have the answer.
Yeah.
People would get frustrated with me. And his younger scientist students were saying that's always the way that scientists should answer, because as scientists, you're constantly questioning. You're constantly taking the data and changing your hypothesis and tweaking and looking and studying and getting. He said the scientists that you see on TV, like on CNN or MSNBC, that give you a straight answer, they give you a definitive.
Yeah.
Are the ones that are full of crap, because that's how they get on television.
Yes.
They give you these absolutes. You know, yeah. They're like, yep, that's what caused it. Really? Okay, let's start unpacking this a little bit. No one likes someone on television who's like, well, we don't have
the
all
data.
The data
doesn't say.
The data doesn't show it. So,
but let's rewind the time machine to this data time set when anyone who questioned the efficacy or the safety of this vaccine was excoriated in the media or treated as unpatriotic or a conspiracy theorist or crazy or again canceled on YouTube, right? And mm-hmm. And here is some data that I'm sure the powers that be would love to cancel, but it exists. It's here by Pfizer. And we should further take it with a grain of salt, because it was produced by Pfizer. And who knows that they didn't make this more palatable.
Well, and also, I had a question and it just slipped my mind. Don't you hate when that happens? You have something
yes.
And then it just completely disappears. Maybe I'll think of it.
But anyway, I mean, quietly releasing this data, you know, the FDA begins quietly releasing this data. I mean, court order release runs risk of cherry picking and taking things out of context is what Pfizer is saying.
Like, I remember
worried about cherry picking and taking things. Actually,
taking
why
the redacted
don't you not hide this stuff?
Out of context.
Yeah. Why don't you take your redacted information and unredact it, you a-holes, and then
well,
maybe we won't
and
have to
question.
Take it out of context.
Who allows them to redact? Like, if they tell them that you have to release these documents, did the judge say, okay, you have to release these documents through this, but you can redact this part? Do they have to get approval of that, or can they just redact whatever they want?
The plaintiff can fight it. The plaintiff, it looks like this was released, or at least the court order was February 2nd, 2022. The plaintiff can now say, we would like this unredacted. I don't know the status of this case.
By the way, I know a little bit more about it, which is that this is, of course, David, you asked earlier, is this the case where we weren't going to learn Pfizer's data for 75 years? That's what Pfizer had initially said. We will release it, the pages, but in 75 years. That's when the court said no. And through a Freedom of Information Act request, the Public Health and Medical Professionals for Transparency group are the ones that fought that. And they now got it approved to have that at least 55,000 pages released this year. So the court was like, no, 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 no on the 75 years thing. You're going to release it now. So now they have to release 500 pages of documents. They have to release 55,000 pages of documents this month. That's what they have to release.
Oh, so there's more of this coming.
Well, there's more.
Yeah, and I believe that is relates to the approval process, how they were able to bypass phase three of trials or phase three of the approval process.
Oh,
with the
my
FDA.
God. I'm going to buckle my seatbelt now that you say it that
And
way.
I love that initially the FDA was like, here's what's in the public interest. Initially, the FDA said, here, Pfizer, here's what you have to do. You have to release 500 pages of documents each month for 75 years. Like, that's your punishment. And the court was like, no, sorry, FDA. No, we have a right to know this. And as Dr. John Campbell points out, wouldn't we have liked to have known all of this information at the beginning if you had this data?
Yeah.
That, oh, my son could get myocarditis, or my daughter could get meningitis, or well, that it could cause Crohn's disease or Addison's disease or anything else that is on this lengthy list. I'd like to know that.
I mean, look, we're all making our calculation of risk benefit to, like, will I survive COVID or will I survive the vaccine? Everyone has the right to that data to make their own choice.
Get a vaccine against meningitis. I mean, right?
Yes.
Meningitis is on the list of things that this vaccine causes.
I was saying from the very beginning, and we've said this ad nauseum, is like, you, if you were, had not, not, weren't, had no, I can't even form a sentence right now because I get irritated with this. If you had no issues with the vaccine or anything like that, you would have given out all the data. If you were really altruistic, you really cared about a virus, you would have got this out to the world. You would have worked with other scientists around the world. You would have done everything you could do to actually help people. But they were so focused on the money, and that makes it even more obvious when they're willing to hide information. Because if they were, if it was as good as everybody said, and it's safe and effective and it really works, then they would be happy to release the data. They would be serving it up on a platter saying, look how good our stuff is.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Here's all the data. Take a look at it. Go look at it.
We're
impeccable.
What
we have, but we're not. Sandy. Yeah. Sandy says, I noticed Dr. Fauci's picture is on the side of my milk carton. He's missing. Yeah. Who's heard from Dr. Fauci lately?
Somebody, didn't Ron DeSantis say he was in the witness protection program?
Yeah, I think so. He must be. Well, I mean, there you go.
The thing is also part of this is like the data may or may not be bad. It's just that all of the secrecy around everything, like, the government, we're so used to the government lying to us, and there's no repercussions for lying to us, that like we have to take everything as it is a lie. It's like they're being secretive when they shouldn't be. You know,
it does show the data would be bad, though. Do you think that if Pfizer had information that would get more people to get vaccinated, that it was such good news that they wouldn't be like putting that out everywhere they could?
Who knows?
If they're hiding it, it's because it's not good.
It could be that they're just thinking about their profits. You know, it's the problem is we'll never know.
But we do know 1,223 deaths that Pfizer is willing to take responsibility for. Guess we could have an existential conversation about the acceptable number of deaths to end a pandemic if you wanted to, say, put them on a scale of 1,223 deaths versus however many hundreds of thousands of COVID deaths. You could have a conversation. And I know, David, you don't like it when we talk about COVID deaths and people dying of COVID, but we're not going to have it. I'm saying you could, right?
Right. But even that number, like, that puts it over the threshold. I think they were saying it's like something like 5 to 25 deaths. It has to have a black label. So, you know, like, this should definitely have a black label, and people should have been warned. And that's the whole point of this, is people were not informed of all of this stuff. You know how the drug commercials have to say the possible adverse reactions after the commercial?
I've said that.
If they had to read the ones you just showed, 9 pages.
It would never happen, right? And this is what I think Dr. Campbell's been arguing. I've been arguing for this on the show here. When we watch television in America, every commercial is for a drug, right? And at the end of the commercial, it says, may cause pancreatic cancer, may cause bleeding, may cause... check with your doctor before this, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's a toe fungus cream and it's going to give me cancer? Yeah, they have to put that disclaimer on there, but not with these things. Not with these. You don't have to mention it because you have the emergency use authorization, so it doesn't have to go through the normal FDA approval process, and then it doesn't have to appear on television. But that doesn't stop them from advertising it to us for the tune of $1 billion.
Right.
Well, and also,
in Austria, they're saying that the risk of the vaccine is not proportionate to the risk of Omicron. So at least one government is saying, whoa, we see this now.
One government.
We're not going to. Okay, so... no to this.
No.
All right, let's move on to what's trending.
Yeah, we got to get to what's trending. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because you can start smart trading anytime, anywhere with our friends at Moomoo. Smart trading with free in-depth market data. You can get 5 free stocks right now and a free stock called NOI, a free share of NOI, just for opening an account and making your initial deposit. So when you open up your account, you're going to get free stocks and a chance to get that NOI stock as well. They have 0 commission trades. Anytime I cover different companies, people are like, hey, where can I buy this stock? Where can I trade? I love Moomoo. It's so clean and easy. It's great trading experience, full trading hours, extended hours. You can do extra hours, after hours. They have great execution price, obviously 0 commission trades. They do high volume trading. I also like it if you're just getting started. It's a great platform to learn about level 2 because it's free. They give you free level 2 market data. And the other thing I love about it, in addition to getting the free stocks, is that they have courses free courses. Educate yourself. You know, if you want to learn how to make a few hundred extra bucks a week or a few hundred extra $1,000 a month just from trading and learning about day trading and learning about just even swing trading and fundamental analysis and understanding how stocks and the, you know, everything works, they've got free courses here that you can watch and study and learn right through them for free. And then, you know, you don't even have to use your own money when you start. Just use paper trading so you can learn for the first few months. I have a friend who did paper trading for like, I think a year. He went a long time. He did a year of just paper trading, which means you're not using real money. You're using fake, you know, you're just using an account to learn how to do it. And then after a year, he started using his own money and now he's made millions. So he spent that year studying. And then guess what? He transformed himself into a multimillionaire by putting that like that time in. And he did it all for free. So you can do it as well. Just go to morninginvest.com/moomoo. Get your 5 free stocks. Open an account today. Get the bonus and just start learning. Don't do anything else but get some free money and just start learning. That's all I want you to do. Just learn, learn, learn. Financial education is something we were not taught in school at all, unless you went to some school I didn't, which you probably did, but I don't know.
Yes, I went to school.
You went to school. Were you taught
financial
education?
I went to a school
education?
That you didn't.
You went to a school that I didn't. Let me ask you. I'll take a poll here of everyone watching. Did you guys get financial education at your high school? Were you taught?
I didn't even get taught how to balance a checkbook. Which
we did learn that.
That's did all you? I was taught, how to balance a checkbook. I didn't get anything about performing assets, liabilities. I didn't get any of that in school.
Nope.
So
I did learn to make a pillow.
I did too. I learned how to make a pillow in home ec class.
Yeah. Oh. You know what I learned how to make in home ec? Hmm. A Care Bear. I made a Ghostbuster bear.
I remember that.
Wow.
Nice.
Yep. Really served you well.
I took typing where we had no keys, no letters on the keys. And so we had to do, you know, typing tests and things like that. And today I went to the bank and the banker was like, poke, 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 poke. And I was like, guy.
I know. I was
You got to put your fingers on the home keys.
That I took is a typing class in school.
My final typing test, because they would go like 6 mistakes and then put the little hash mark in it. And then that was how many words per minute you had. Mine was 7. 7 words per minute.
That's not good. Wow. But do you keep your fingers on the home keys? I want to know from everyone in the chat. Can we make a new poll? Home keys or Hutt and Peck?
You know what I call myself? I call myself a pecker because I use all my fingers, but I have no idea like where to sit them or whatever. But my mind just like I do it by memory. But I am definitely not like somebody would see me and be like, what in the world? You're typing fast, but with 2 fingers, my 2 pointer fingers.
Wow. That's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm a home keyer all the way. I learned the right way.
Yeah. What is home key? I'm an F and J.
If you put your fingers right now on the F and the J, they have a little dot.
They have a little dot.
That's there to tell you where your point, your index finger should go. And then the 4 subsequent fingers go on the keys next to them.
I thought those were to block dust from getting on the C and V keys.
Oh, my God. Then your right thumb is supposed to push the space bar only. You're not really supposed to push the space bar with your left thumb, although I sometimes do.
Your thumbs should always be resting on the space bar. And these 2 fingers should be on F and J.
Yeah. I was 45 years old when I learned that that's what those little bumps are on the keyboard. I never knew that.
thanks, Grammarly.
America. America's education system right here in front of in action. All right. There's a segment we have here on the show, sort of a palate cleanser at the end of the show. It's called What's Trending on the Internet. These are things that people are searching for all over Twitter and Google. These are trending topics that people are searching in the millions for. And Natalie has collated a number of them to share them here on the show.
Okay. Jerry Jones is trending. He's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, which is a team Clayton hates. So you're going to like this story.
As an Eagles fan, yeah.
A 25-year-old woman is suing him, saying that he is her father. She claims that Jones and her mother agreed to never admit this in public, and she wasn't in on this deal, and now she's saying, look, you're my dad. You got to own up to this. So that's was filed in courts.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is trending because of a new trailer for the series about the Jedi Master. Is out today, and Clayton cried.
It was good, and it plays some of the music from the trilogy, the prequels.
Magazine?
No, not in the magazine.
But we didn't want to play the trailer because we'd probably get blocked or copyright or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a trailer.
There's a trailer. Yes. Okay. Go watch the trailer. Yeah, you can see it on IGN's YouTube page or whatever, but it was really good. It shows him. And with one cool scene, I won't ruin it. Well, I will ruin it for you. One of my favorite little scenes is he's using his binoculars to keep an eye on young Luke Skywalker.
I freaked out about that too. That was my favorite.
So you see Luke like at his house in Tatooine with Uncle Owen and whatever.
Like playing around.
He's like playing in the yard, in the sand yard. And he's like watching him. Like
he's kind of playing pilot.
Him. I got chills. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's so cute. Okay. Amazon stock is trending because the company approved a 20-to-1 stock split, which means Amazon stock will be much cheaper to invest in. If you are interested, now is the time. Survivor is trending because season 42 premiered last night. Can you?
Sorry. I was reading a text. Sorry. From what is this?
Oh, not the band.
What you were doing?
What is this? Survivor?
Yeah.
Oh,
season 42. You guys.
Because they have five seasons a season. Like, okay, right.
What's well, I mean,
there's a lot of survivors.
If
out
you're
there.
Into that,
season one of Survivor. This was what, like 2001 or somewhere around there. I was working as a bartender, and they had like the TVs on, and I saw the first episode of Survivor. And I literally stopped watching television for 10 years after that. Like, I just flat out was like, I'm done. This is horrible.
This is the stupidest thing. You know, I was working at the Oakland Tribune at the time as a newspaper writer. And we ran a story about how TV producers on the success of Survivor were pitching even more crazy premises for reality shows, such as, like, these are real things pitched to TV networks, like Gladiator style, like let's put people in the ring with tigers, or let's like things that people could really get killed doing because TV executives wanted to capitalize on the success of Survivor, and rightly so after 42 seasons. Holy cow.
And we should start a reality show called Everybody Dies Island. And then just right. like,
yeah, people, I right. mean, think about it. Like football is not far off from like the gladiator era, you know, it's like gladiators in the middle going at it and somebody yeah. could die in that. And it's like, you're watching these people and pound each it. Other. Yeah.
Are you not entertained?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you not entertained?
I love that.
All right.
Movie.
Amanda Bynes is trending because she has been in a conservatorship for 9 years, much like Britney Spears was until recently. She joined Instagram. She looks very different from the teeny bopper star that we used to know. She's been quite silent since this conservatorship. Now she has filed court documents to end the conservatorship, and she joined Instagram to thank her fans for their support. She has many videos of this ilk.
Just an aside to that, but like something that I've always been like completely terrified by is that you can refuse any medical service except mental health. So like they can literally force you to have mental health, like doing like these conservatorships or something like that, oh. where like a court can be like, cause you can't like, you can be committed. You can't be forced to have surgery, even if it would save your life. Like yeah. if they're like, oh, you know, surgery on your brain cancer could save your life. They can't force you to do it. But if they're like, but we find you incapable of your own agency,
of
then you
mental
can be
capacity.
Forced. Yeah, exactly. You can be forced into that. And that's just, to me, that's frightening. That's a lot of power in somebody else's opinion.
Yes. Yeah. Mm. Wow. So we'll see if she has the same success as Britney Spears. She doesn't really have the same momentum of like a Free Britney hashtag, but
was she inspired by Britney to do this, or
I don't know. I didn't actually watch all of her Instagrams, but conservatorships are notoriously impossible to overturn, and Britney's being overturned seemed like a feat of strength when it comes to legal systems and processes. So the time is right. So we'll see. Yeah, I have no... I mean, I suppose that in some instances these are good. I don't know. So I don't know anything about the circumstances of hers. She has no documentary.
Would you like to go into a conservatorship? I'll conservatorship you.
No, thank you.
I don't know what that means, but...
No.
Is that like an adult adoption?
Finally, hashtag, yeah, it is like that.
Would you adopt me?
I mean, marriage is not too far off from that, right? You're taking care of someone's stuff all the time.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Hashtag Mar 10 Day is trending. That is Mario Day to you, because if you write out Mar 10, it looks like Mario.
Mario.
And the internet has decided this is an awesome way to celebrate Mario from Nintendo.
I love it.
It's a thing. Let's-a-go.
Let's-a-go.
Here we go.
By the way, Mario Odyssey, if you haven't played Mario Odyssey on the Switch, it's like one of the best games ever made. It is so good. Oh, it's so good.
It's so fun.
Yes.
All right, that's all we've got for you today. We had a lot of outrage, so it's good to have
a little palate cleanser.
Yeah, that's what people are saying.
I'm getting some more information about these bio labs here through I won't say. They're calling in the Soviet era bio labs now. That's going to be their talking points over this going forward.
That was in the statement.
Right. Yeah, but now, I mean, like the idea that we didn't build them, even though the documents on the State Department's website show that we did. Like we even described the furniture we were supplying these labs. But now, like this, we've just been there making sure that we're dismantling these things. That's
well, think about that. There's people that get together. There's a group of people that are getting together in these back rooms, and they're coming up with this stuff, being like, how can we spin this? You know what I mean? Like they're, right. I don't know if they're like Goebbels, like, you know, propagandists, like that's what they majored in, propaganda. And they just sit there and like, how can we spin this in a way that we can get people on board with what we're doing? Well, we can say that they're Soviet era. That's it.
Yeah. And so we're just there dismantling what the Soviets left us. Oh, for 17 years. Really?
Brick by brick.
Literally, like, give me a break. Like, you are full of crap. I mean, took less time to clean up Three Mile Island. Like, you mean to tell me it's taken up that much time, 17 years, to clean up a little weapons lab?
How long did it take them to put that cover over Chernobyl?
Right.
Yeah, well, they had their two best people on it. they've been working their damnedest for 17 years.
Right. we got some super chats here before we get out of here, right?
Okay. Yes. Okay. So we've got Hans Wolf. Natalie, fiance, dropped my $20,000 bike twice.
Oh, okay. So that is in reference to when I pulled something and Clayton's camera dropped. And so they're saying that their fiance did something similar.
Mm. Was it the slider cam fell? Is that?
I'm sure that fiance is very sorry.
Outstanding entertainment. Hey, is it true that the V changes people's DNA? I was in class yesterday and that came up.
Well, that has been reported in the the most recent. We did the story in the newsletter a few weeks ago and covered the in the liver, the DNA creation in the liver of the Moderna. I think the Moderna, I don't have it in front of me, but yes, there is reports of that, like DNA being created as a result of the vaccine in the liver.
Are you sure? I can't see that super chat. Are you sure that was a question? I thought that was someone saying that they studied it in class.
It says, hey, is it true?
Oh, is it true? I thought they were saying that it was. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Our DNA gets changed a lot more than we would like to know about. I mean, it's just like, because viruses are so ubiquitous, and that's basically their function is they're just little like bags of like usually RNA or DNA. And they insert themselves into your DNA, and then it's just there. That's how they replicate. And so it's like that's not the, I don't know how I want to say it. Like the fact that something changes your DNA is not like atomic bomb level panic. Because
if it's been manipulated in a way that they know that it will change it in a specific way, that is.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, like if it's a bioweapon, for sure, but
right.
Yeah. Right, but we're not saying that that's the case. Kind of manipulation is not. Yeah. Okay.
Is that all the super chats?
Yep, that's it.
Vartan K says, Clayton, are you excited about the new iPad Air that Apple announced? I'm excited because I think it's low cost and it'll be great for a lot of people that want to buy an iPad because you can use an Apple Pencil with it. It works with the keyboard. It's super powerful and it's expensive. Really, really cheap compared to the other ones. And it's be like a great laptop replacement for college kids and schools. Me personally, I have an iPad Pro, so I'm not going to go for the iPad Air. And actually, I've been using the iPad Mini so much more lately for like book reading and stuff that I'm almost not even picking up the iPad Pro. as much. I might sell it. So
the iPad Pro is just a big, I mean, it's, I got the 12.9 and it's just a beast to pick up, and like, it's uncomfortable to hold for a long time. So I like the mini too for like reading.
I
use and stuff.
It. I have it right here. I like
she
it.
But she has the smaller one. You have the 11 inch. I have the big beast one. But I love this one because it's like, you know, I use this for reading and taking notes and taking my language classes and stuff. It has my little Apple Pencil on it so I can take notes and highlights and all that good stuff. Yeah. So
we just got another super chat from Mr. Pratt. Clay, which he doesn't like being called Clay, just so you know, it's Clayton. But I get it. You're limited text. Clay, why did you and Natalie get jabbed knowing how much the media lies? Just wondering.
Really, my intention was that I thought that if a certain percentage of our community got vaccinated, that our children would have an easier time at school.
They might relieve
some of the masking. And it really was about being able to enter my children's school and about.
And to be fair, you guys did it before this big media explosion.
Oh, for sure. We did it in
June of 2021.
And look, yes, I'm a skeptic by nature, and to kind of go back and say, I mean, look, I got COVID. So, and I was on my ass for like 8 days. I had Delta and I was, it was brutal. I mean, I like to think in my heart of hearts that maybe that helped me not go to the hospital. I don't know, but who the hell knows, you know? We had a friend that died of COVID, we think. We know that's what they, you know, said on the box when he died. In New York City. So that was another reason. And I think mostly we just wanted to protect the people around us. That was kind of like what we were, you know, we were going to do to make sure that the seniors didn't die near us and all that stuff. And so,
yeah,
I mean,
I think your intention absolutely matters. You know, this is data that you should take and do what you will with it. But it's data that you have the right to, I believe. So,
yeah, I will say if I had to go back and do it again, I wouldn't. So I will say that.
That's somebody's asking where to send pet photos. I'm putting the email address up on screen right now. Just send them to pets@morninginvest.com. That's tomorrow. Pet Friday.
That is tomorrow.
Pets tomorrow, guys. Okay. So that's 4 shows out of 5, and we will see you here for the 5th tomorrow.
All right. Bye, everyone.